Now on Racing Pulse, RSN's racing editor, Matt Stewart.
People may say that it went on for longer than it should have and it was a bad look, but the image that was posted, the last one I saw, was him grabbing onto the leg of the clerk of the course and the clerk of the course trying to fend him away.
For more news, opinion and selections, head to rsn.net.au.
It is time for RSN's racing editor, Matty Stewart, who has plenty of news. And Matty, we've got a big weekend of racing coming up, don't we? We've got the Group 1 races over in South Australia, the Goodwood, the Doomben 10,000. Then on Sunday, we've got the Australian Hurdle and the steeple out at Sandown. Looking forward to seeing some of the big jumpers out there as well. And just speaking of the Doomben 10,000, not the Doomben 10,000, the Doomben Cup meeting up there, this meeting won't be shifted, and it's already a heavy nine with a lot more rain to come. Has there been any doubt amongst those up north about the meeting going ahead?
It all comes down to late Friday and then through Saturday. I had a chat to the club today about, I think they're probably a little bit more dim about it than they were yesterday with the revised weather forecast. So there's no fallback venue. So it's either we run, there's a Doomben meeting scheduled for Wednesday. There's a possibility that if they don't run, I would imagine that one of the two big races might get absorbed into that. That's the Cup and the Roses, or the Cup might move to maybe Eagle Farm next Saturday. So it's not like they're going to jump over the road or jump up to Caloundra. It's either Doomben or nothing this Saturday. So the fallback is the midweeker or the set into the next Saturday at Eagle Farm to just plonk a couple of these bigger races. It was interesting listening to your Shelby conversation. I think, Danny, it was good for him to describe the unique situation he finds himself with Shelby 66, and I think that clarifies, the story sort of, the narrative changed a bit after the feel-good thing in Sydney on the wet tracks and then coming down to Melbourne. And there is, a lot of people have a perception about the way horses are trained and so on. And there had been a lot of negativity as well. But once you kind of realise that every horse is different and this horse has got issues, that you entrust Danny Williams to kind of be more aware than anyone else about what he's actually dealing with Shelby 66. And, he may not have a horse this time next year. He's had all these sorts of problems. So he's probably thinking, he's a make hay while the sun shines horse, because he's had all these ongoing issues. And if he's fit and well and he's got his own measures of the horse, then, good luck to him. Good luck to him on the weekend,
More like make hay while the rain falls type of horse.
While the rain, yeah, exactly, yeah.
He's in a very awkward situation now because he's a more high profile horse, and you get the social media users just saying, look, he's just going to run it into the ground because he wants the money and that. But, they know their horses better than anyone. They love their horses. So it was interesting to say that he's not too sure if he is over the top. So it's buyer beware if you want to back Shelby on Saturday. He had that hiccup last week, and the conditions will suit if the meeting goes ahead. The class of race suits. He's got James McDonald on board. But even Danny Williams is like, well, this will probably be his last run. We were going to put him out for a spell. It's a bit of an afterthought. So hopefully he's not over the top.
There was a famous Queen, not mega famous, but there was a very high profile Queensland horse many years ago that came down for a spring campaign and ran so many times leading up to the Melbourne Cup, and his trainer at the time conceded afterwards that there was an element of financial consideration for the trainer about how often he raced the horse. And so it's not, I'm not saying this is in any way the case with Danny Williams, but I do know of many examples of that fine line between a trainer who's in a certain situation where they need to get a check as often as they can versus absolutely what's best for the horse. So anyway, good luck to Team Shelby if the meeting goes ahead.
Hey, just while we're talking about Queensland, interesting story I read, Danny Begore, who we know, a famous racing family, trainer of Falvalon, who is being evicted from Eagle Farm. Is that how it reads, Matty? What's the story there?
It's a tricky one because, Ray Hadley's got onto this and there's a perception that the club is bullying the trainer who's, struggling to maintain his big brand stables at Eagle Farm. And it's a tricky one. My understanding via the club is that there are a lot of trainers that are itching to get in there who have got better strike rates and so on, and Danny Begore's had 3 wins since August 2020 between Eagle Farm and Doomben. And there is I remember there was a well-known Flemington trainer who was put to the same test at Flemington 3 or 4 years ago. And I think there are performance KPIs for trainers who train at the elite brand tracks. And despite the fact that Danny Begore is so famous for having trained Felvillon and so on, that the club is under, there's a brand issue as well with the track. So I know it's a tricky one, and there are a lot of people who would sympathise with Danny Begore, but I think there's also a business case for the club that they can't let it drag on forever without having to make a call on it. So it's just a slightly tricky situation, isn't it?
It's very tricky, isn't it? Because you would imagine if you sign a lease to train and you are up to date with your payments, you're not behind in your payments. Mm. Now, if you are not keeping up with your rental payments, it's a different story. But if you are paying on time each and every month, it is a really tricky one, unless in the contract that you sign with the club, there are built-in KPIs. And I wonder whether that's what race clubs like Flemington, like Eagle Farm, Randwick and the like do put into contracts. But if they don't, it is very difficult, isn't it, to be forklifted out of where you've been training if you're paying every month as you're required to do.
Well, putting the club's perceived brand ahead of the fact that I assume, and I don't know the full story about the bill paying with Felvillon Lodge, but, you know, surely you would think that paying the rent is enough to keep you in the premises, but it sounds like there are other considerations.
Mm. Speaking of trainers, important meeting yesterday at the MRC as the two-track proposal continues to drag on and debate continues. What came out of the trainers' meeting yesterday?
It's a funny situation, isn't it? Because the clock is ticking very loudly. There's a May 28 committee meeting of the MRC, and obviously that is going to be when the MRC, has done this round of consultation with the trainers, jockeys, and I know that the Owners Association wandered in at the end of the meeting last night and had a separate meeting with the MRC. So I assume that was related to this same issue. But so there's a May 28 committee meeting where they have to really make a call on what they're doing, and then obviously Racing Victoria has to be involved in that call as well. But it's still a holding pattern. The jockeys in recent days have come out of their meeting with the MRC feeling no different about their objection to the inner track. And then the trainers came out of what was, from my understanding, a fairly boisterous meeting with the MRC yesterday, feeling that they have gained no further comfort from the MRC regarding their desire to push away from an inner track and go with a course proper. The MRC, and obviously we absolutely believe them when they say they have done their due diligence on the issues relating to lighting and all the concerns that the trainers have. Maybe for everyone's benefit, it might be prudent for the club or for a second set of eyes to look at it as a blank canvas and see if there's an alternative view, perhaps, on what may be done with that precinct, as opposed to not an internal review, but a review conducted by the club. And that's no disrespect at all to what the club has done to sort of prove its point with engineers and so on. But maybe with such a weighty decision, it might, to comfort the MRC as well, perhaps there might be an option to get a second opinion on a few of these questions. Who knows?
Who would give a second opinion, though? Isn't time of the essence, Matt?
Well, independent engineers, independent this, independent that, I suppose. But I also presume that the engineers that they have used have a large degree of independence as well. So that has been a thought bubble that's maybe come out of it. So,
What was the overriding sentiment of the trainers after the meeting? Do they feel there is any wavering of the MRC's plan to move forward with two tracks, or are they resigned to the fact that the MRC is steadfast, Racing Victoria supports it, it's likely that this is going to occur?
Correct. That the MRC has gone from won't to can't. That was a quote from someone who was at the meeting to me, is that the position of the MRC going in is we won't do it. And then after producing all the engineering data and all the other stuff, their view at the end of the meeting went from won't to can't. We physically can't build an outer track. We physically can build an inner track. And then the interesting thing as well, where I reckon the messaging has changed considerably since, and you may have some recall as well. When the MRC sold its dream of the big precinct and what it imagined it would be, heavily embedded into that, from my recollection, was a desire to race often, as in a staple, on a Wednesday night. Wednesday night, tie into Hong Kong, we want to be racing on Wednesday night. Moonee Valley will be Friday night. Cranbourne and Pakenham will shuffle around Thursday and Friday. But MRC's desire was to race weekly on a Wednesday night. And now, the message from Racing Victoria and the MRC, whether it's perceived as a soft sell to appease the trainers and the owners to get this idea over the line, oh no, it's only going to be 15 meetings a year, potentially under lights. The track will be used for trials and jump outs and a little bit of spillover from tracks A, B and C, a little bit of shuffling around. It seems as though that they have softened the what they see as the potential role of this inner track, and I think maybe they're in part to diffuse a lot of the objection to it, because I think when the participants were jumping up and down, they were thinking that this was going to be a major thing. This was going to be Wednesday night racing at Caulfield every week, almost every week, to fit in with Hong Kong, even though the clock with Hong Kong wasn't really matching up. That was the original pitch, but it seems like it's been diminished now down to, oh, we're going to use it a little bit. We'll throw a bit of night racing into cover for Moonee Valley. I think Moonee Valley is going to be a little bit anxious about, once Caulfield takes Friday night in the absence of Moonee Valley, and say the wagering numbers are strong, will they feel that they then have to fight to get to get the Friday nights back off the MRC if the MRC wagering numbers are strong? So maybe there might be some sort of a conflict between the MRC and Moonee Valley about who owns the slot of Friday night if Moonee Valley, if Caulfield get their hands on that slot for a couple of years and maximise it. So, but do, is that do, a correct recollection? Trainers,
no, I've got no doubt that there is a goal to.
But about the night, the agenda of racing at Caulfield, it was going to be big. It was going to be every Wednesday night, wasn't it?
And it was spoken about that it will tap into that Asian market and give a new metropolitan viewpoint for overseas gambling on Melbourne races, and maybe not even so much catered towards punters being on course, but more a product for television.
But now it's gone down to 15 meetings a year, which is almost
And is that more palatable for trainers now? Are they, with this change in however many meetings will be held there, the trainers now saying, well, you know what, okay, we can live with that. Let's press forward.
The question is whether they have faith that that will remain. You know, that's the election campaign last minute sort of proposal. But whether or not once this is granted approval and it sails away and then the lights are built and the track's built and so on, do they remain at this commitment to only 15 a year, or does it sort of creep up and then suddenly in 5 years' time they want to then now try and realise that original idea of every single Wednesday night, or whether they also maybe feel, hang on a minute, we're doing pretty well on a Friday night, let's fight Moonee Valley for Friday night. And that's just speculating, who knows whether that scenario may occur. But I think if they are saying it's only going to be used 15 times a year, well then, okay, sign a unbinding contract that says that's all you'll do for 10 years. So, you know, like if that's what you're going in with, then you've got to come out the other end with the same commitment, don't you?
Well, I suppose this is what this green paper is going to survey the industry participants and punters about what they want the footprint to look like in years moving forward. So are we close to a resolution then, or is it just going to be a decision is made? So I think a lot of people are sick of talking about it
I think so too. But I think it's a big issue because it's so polarising. But May 28 is the committee meeting. So if you're looking for what may happen next, I know the trainers came out of the meeting going, well, we don't really know where to go from here. We don't know. It's a bit out of our hands, and it's now Racing Victoria and the MRC. And the MRC has a committee meeting on May 28. I imagine that is when they will decide that, okay, despite the tidal wave, we're pressing on.
Mm. Interesting. Just a side thought now, because we want to give promotion to the RSN Sandown Cup tonight. With the encroachment of gallops into more night racing, it's going to have a knock-on effect to the other codes as well, with Harness and Greyhounds, who traditionally have owned that night spot.
Well, Well, it's a jigsaw puzzle, isn't it? The more you think about this whole thing, the more there's other related things that are, for instance, if they decide to shuffle around meetings within the MRC umbrella between Sandown, Caulfield and Mornington, or even if it is more broad than that, if they start to take meetings off Pakenham, because Caulfield, say Caulfield takes the primary night racing role for a couple of years and its figures are better than Pakenham's, to suddenly they look at Pakenham and go, well, you're the weak link. Because at the moment, Pakenham turns over about 12,000 a meeting, 15,000 for Cranbourne and 20,000 for Moonee Valley, which might be a like-for-like potentially for Caulfield. So does it put pressure on a track like Pakenham to retain its night racing identity, given maybe other tracks are going to start to outperform Pakenham? So I just think there's a million things that are connected to this, you know. So we'll see.
We'll see what falls out of all of this discussion and debate. Might even have a chat to Michael Brow next week, because I think there could be some interesting and exciting news from Moonee Valley as far as the Cox Plate and trying to entice internationals to race as well. So we'll delve deeper into that next week.
Pay him.
Speaking of...
Meet him in a park with a brown paper bag. It works.
Oh, just like the old Carlton days. Speaking of the RSN Sandown Cup, it's a great night tonight. Three Group 1s out at Sandown and a lot of brilliant stories. We're going to have a chat to Jason Thompson a little bit later to try and find us a winner. But there's a really nice story revolving around tonight's Sandown Cup as well, Manny. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, it's... You know, the blur of watching ground races, you tend to forget that there's a lot invested, almost sometimes emotionally, in the performance of greyhounds. And Michelle Marlier has Golden Quest and Aston Velvet, who are drawn 6 and 5 respectively in the squeeze boxes, and they're roughies. But Michelle's father, Charlie, who's a legend and was her best mate, and, you know, she gave me some lovely descriptions of the relationship she had with her dad growing up, and they were attached to the hip, and everything she learned, he taught. And one thing Charlie was unable to do was win the Sandown Cup. He had two runners that were beaten a whisker in their editions of the race. So Michelle has lost her dad, and she's still very emotional about it. She was emotional about it last week when both bitches made their way into the final, and she was very emotional when I spoke to her on the phone at the mere mention of her dad, who died in very quickly from cancer in March. Their heads are still spinning about how day one he's fine, and then 5 days later he had died. So this carries a lot of weight for Michelle Marlier, because Dad couldn't win it. Dad died just recently. She said she's going to do a Damien Oliver and kiss the heavens as she walks up the straight after the race if one of them is lucky enough to win. And, you know, to me, like, before I spoke to her, I was going to watch the Sandown Cup, but I didn't have a particular investment, not even a financial investment, but an investment in a storyline, and there is a story on our website that takes the story a bit further, but I think anyone is now aware of the story of Michelle Marlier, and I'm sure there are other greyhounds in the race that equally have a story that resonates as well. But if one of these two bitches is able... It always sounds funny saying that. If one of these two greyhounds is able to win...
You've never been able to cope with that, have you?
I just sound weird. if one of these two bitches can win the Greyhound Cup tonight... then I'll be jumping up and down for Michelle Marlier, who's a woman who I didn't even know 24 hours ago. So that's what weight a story can have to create interest. And I'll probably have $20 on them. So there's your wagering box ticked as well. So cheer home the story.
Well, we'll be cheering home Michelle Marlier with Golden Quest and also Aston Velvet. $19, the 6 and the 5 Aston Velvet, the outsider at $41. Just as well you're off the drink, Matty, because I could just imagine...
There was an incident yesterday, but anyway.
Oh, you're off the wagon.
I'll tell you a quick story. I told the brekkie guys. I answered the phone yesterday, and you know when you don't answer numbers you don't know, and the bloke says, "Is this Matthew Stewart?" And I thought, cops have got me for something again. Turns out it was the bloke at Sam at the Michaels IGA in Keysborough, and 3 weeks ago, without him, and then I just remembered that I did. I entered a competition when I bought a bottle of wine, and they only got 4 entries, and I won a pack of premium wine valued at $400 that I picked up yesterday, and then I stared at it for half an hour, and then the obvious happened, of course. So
how much of the premium wine pack is left?
Started with 4, down to 3.
Okay, all right. I'll be around later this afternoon to collect one.
And then we go down to 2.
Yes. All right, Matty. Once you're off the wagon, it's hard to get back on. Good luck.
Righto.
Get back in the swimming pool. We'll enjoy your days off, and we'll chat to you over the weekend.
Thanks, Michael.
Matty Stewart, all of RSN's latest news, rsn.net.au. Quick break. More to come on the other side of this.